The following program is sponsored by Scoop USA Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Well, happy Scoop Thursday, world. I need to go back because last week I was not here, so technically, this is my first week on air for the year.
Yay!
Yes.
So happy 2024.
Yes, and I have to thank everybody who is listening, who listened last year, and those who I hope will join us this year and become listeners and supporters and community people who understand the value of Scoop, because it's very important that we make sure Scoop stays here. So I'm going to start off by literally saying that my name is Cherie Darton. I'm the owner and publisher of Scoop USA Media, the only woman-owned African-American media company that has more than one publications. We have three and two radio shows. So we are technically a full-blown media company. And I'm the only woman owner, not just woman owner, but also black and woman owner in the city. So I need to say that my fight, whatever it is that I do, and I wake up every morning understanding that my job, my mission, my goal is to provide news and information to minority communities that often don't get it. So if you see me, if you know me, you will understand that my whole point of existing now, outside of being a mother and a wife, is to be a vessel for our community. Nothing else. Nothing else. I need to say that, and I'm saying that in the beginning of the year because I kind of started off rocky, and I need to go back and reaffirm for myself and for people who do listen, like what I am and what Scoop is. So that is done, but we have so many things going on. This is a special. Adrian didn't call in yet, so we're not really started yet. So this week I wasn't supposed to be here this week. I'm actually a special guest today because my co-hosts were supposed to do this show without me, but it's the week prior to MLK Day. And Martin Luther King, as well as a lot of our other ancestors, is very important to me. It's something that I really take personal, and I think that it has heightened my desire to make sure that our history is understood. When I became a publisher of a newspaper, it became even more important to me. The things that people have done in our past versus the way our lives are lived today. Because I constantly go back and forth with the struggles that we saw in the 60s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I'm always asking, like, how is this working today? You know, like, do you see a difference? So today we're going to be blessed. I think Adrian is joining us. Amaris and Adrian are going to introduce themselves. I'm going to try to be here and try not to be here as much. We do have a special guest today, the Honorable, and I have to say it that way, Dr. William Tucker of the Martin Luther King Association will be calling in, I want to say, in about a half hour, 15, 20 minutes. He'll be calling in and literally helping us understand the Kingian back his history, Martin Luther King, what has happened in our past. And why it's important that we acknowledge Martin Luther King, not just on his birthday, but all throughout the year, that we celebrate his commitment and his dedication and the things that he's given us throughout his lifetime. And also that we then look at today and see some of the things that we could and would do today. And it's very interesting. Scoop published a special edition, and we try to do this every year prior to Martin Luther King Day. A King edition, and we print twice a week, but once a week we print, once we're digital, but on special occasions we print twice a week. So this week we actually print it twice. And the headlining story, the cover story is an article that was written about Martin Luther King's daughter and what she's saying about, she says literally, guns, wars, gun on violence, and racism have pushed humanity to the brink. And this is somebody who was raised in the home with Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott. And she's actually making a very, very direct statement about where we are today versus what she says her father's hopes and dreams were for us. So with that said, Adrian, Are you here, hon?
Good morning, y'all. Well, good afternoon, y'all.
Hey. So you and Amaris want to, I guess, get started on, I guess, what I would suggest. It's a suggestion, not a command or a demand, is that you guys would share, I guess, your thoughts on Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King Day. Why it's important while we're waiting for Dr. Tucker to come so we kind of get started. Is that a good way to get started? Amaris is smiling, yeah. So she says yes. Are you smiling?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I know. I'm ready. I'm ready to start out, and I'm sure Adrian is too.
There you go.
So, I sure am.
So I just want to say, like, to our listeners and to Sheree, since you know, obviously you're here with us today and have been dedicatedly here on a regular basis, you give us, I want to thank you for not only all of our listeners for tuning in and for, you know, hearing what we have to say, what Sheree has, you know, the people that we've brought on and what activities and opportunities are out there for all of you. But today is, as you had said, a very special day because it's, you know, the lead up to MLK. And I have always adhered to being in, you know, under the peace and love and nonviolence. And, you know, I don't like confrontation. So obviously nonviolence would be the best way to go about it. But to lift voices up and to be able to have a mic in front of my face and be able to express my views, my opinions, and share them with all of you is an opportunity that I wouldn't have other, you know, if not for our leader sitting next to me, but also, you know, opportunities that have paved the way for everyone else, from people who have made those pathways, opened up those pathways.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely, to add to that as well, I think that the biggest portion of MLK Day, the week, the weekend for me is just always a reflection of what they continue to fight and strive for, to create endless opportunities for us today. And that comparison of what it looked like and what it meant back then, actually protesting in the streets, actually being accountable to what was being held against the Black community at that time. I think that was very powerful compared to what we call accountability today for our community. You know, today in 2024, 2023, there are a lot of people making change, right? But when I say the difference and the comparison within the new generation, right, the next of generations that are going to take lead and be responsible for, you know, our youth and what's to come next, that looks very different compared to the impact that MLK has made with his movement and his words, his family, Coretta Scott King, and their children at the time that they were going through things in the 60s, was very different compared to what we call accountability today, right? So I would just like to put an emphasis on actually taking a stand and being confident for fighting for what's good, right? What's good in today's society is very different compared to back then, right? When you listen to the music, when you see the activities, if people are still outside doing activities, playing games, actually having a sense of community without technology being that median to bring people together, that has had a huge effect on our community, how we hold others accountable, and ultimately how we stand up for the things that really impact our community. So when I look back to MLK Day, the week, the weekend, and just the history that we have been left with, it makes me think about the history that is being overlooked today because of the lack of presentation, the lack of willingness to show up and stand up in such a peaceful way that MLK's legacy showed us, if that makes sense. Does that make sense, y'all?
Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of sense. So I also, piggybacking off of what you just said, I want to mention the fact that our guest on today is the husband of the late Dr. C. Dolores Tucker. And Dr. C. Dolores Tucker has paved the way in so many ways. She actually was one of the individuals who walked from, you know, with Mr. King all the way. And, you know, she's advocated on behalf of not only African-Americans, of peace, of love, anti-racism. Like, she's also paved the way on women's rights as well. I did a lot of research last night on all of the things that she's accomplished. And I unfortunately forgot my notes off the top. Off the top of my head, just the levity of the things that she has done and, you know, the things that we can all springboard off of, that she's led the way, and, you know, people who have followed her and, you know, learned from her have also continued her legacy, her husband inclusive. So,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's impactful, too, because usually you would see, you know, a lot of the accolades being handed to the man in topics like this. But being that Dr. C. Dolores Tucker is the one that we are referring to today and speaking in conversation, I, again, would like to say that that is very impactful itself, right, for today. And just speaking up about women and their impact and highlighting the achievements that they had, not to be a sidekick to their husband, right?
Yeah.
But to be someone who is equal and standing beside on the same level. So that is beautiful.
It is. Mm-hmm. Cherie's face right now is, I wish you could see her face. It's beautiful to see the reflection of, you know, what we're both saying on her reactions.
Wonderful. I wish I could be there in person with y'all today.
So listen, ladies, hopefully Dr. Tucker will be calling soon, right? Mm-hmm. But just to give you an idea of the power that's associated with this, with the Martin Luther King Association. So when I became a publisher, 2017, I actually picked up and I was grandfathered in to the role that Mr. Driver had, which meant I was allowed to be a part of the association, to sit on the dais, to be in a room with Dr. Tucker, to be in a room with Joy Nodge, to be in a room with the people who are actively involved in the history, the continuation, the life legacy of the King Association and making it something that still is important today. You know, so I was able to be in that room and to be there and to experience the bell ringing. Mind you, and I will say this as a minority from North Philly, I had never been to the Liberty Bell, never wanted to go. Okay, no, I'm dead serious, and I'm saying it the way it needs to be said, because people often say that people who live near a beach don't go see the sand because it's right there. So people who live in Philadelphia often don't go down Fifth Street to Independence Mall because they hear so much about it. Oh, it's a Philly thing. We're here. We don't need to do that. I had never. I don't even remember going as a class trip as a student in school. Hmm. Seriously. So I had never been there, never wanted to go. I've been to Independence Mall several times since I became the publisher. And I do this crazy thing where I make sure that my photographers get pictures. And at first I would just say, we in the room, y'all. Like, we're here. We're physically in the room, because it's important to learn that it's important to be in a room. And I'm saying it the way I'm saying it because it didn't mean anything to me until I became a publisher of a newspaper. And it's like, oh, my gosh, you represent so much more now. You got to step your game up. But people need to know that it's important if you're not a publisher. You know, it's very important to be somebody who knows who you are, who knows why you exist, who understands the importance. And I think Dr. Tucker is on the line. He's coming through right now. And who understands why it's important that we do and be who we are and understand all of the things that happened before we got here. Because we have to learn how to continue our legacy and make sure that these things go on without us.
Yeah.
You know, so Dr. Tucker, are you here?
I'm here.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
It's so good to hear your voice and know that you're here.
Good afternoon.
Thank
you. Yes, it has.
I want to thank you before we get started with the conversation. I want to thank you for coming on and supporting me and supporting Scoop and being in my corner. And I know that you have kissed me on the cheek and told me to do good several times since I became the publisher. So I am so honored to have you in my life. And I was just explaining to my co-hosts, Amandris and Adrian, how important it is to be at the Liberty Bell, how important it is to attend functions such as yours and to actually pick up a lot of the things that you all live by and make it a part of our life, because we need to make sure that we can keep this going. So,
thank you for those comments.
I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm totally blessed to be in the room with you all every year and actually understand the magnitude of the work that you do and have done. So let me introduce to my co-host to you so that they can say hello. We have Amandris, who's online, and she's actually in studio with me. And we have Adrian, who's on the phone also. So my co-hosts are both two young ladies from different age brackets. They actually are wonderful. They actually know a lot about life, and we expose them and we've given them an opportunity to literally kind of run this show on their own so that they can learn and be active in our community. So they have some stuff. They want to talk to you about some stuff, and hopefully you can enlighten them and share information with them that will give them the same type of energy I have to keep things going so that we can start changing this narrative a little bit with our Gen Zs and Ys and Xs and all of these other generations. Okay. So, ladies, introduce yourselves.
It's all about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, maintaining that legacy. And that's what we must do at all costs, maintain his legacy in a vibrant way so that everybody understands what he contributed to America.
Thank you. And I this is Amandris, just so you know. And thank you also for joining us on the Inside Scoop.
It's my honor and privilege to be with you this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Tucker. My name is Adrian Baldock, and it is also a pleasure to meet you this afternoon. I do have some questions for you, just from a
very good
perspective.
What
would be your advice to this new generation as far as continuing the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King? What does that look like in today's society?
Well, it doesn't look too bright, because it seems as though a lot of young people don't seem to have time for anything except themselves. And that's a mistake. And what I would encourage young people to do is to go back and study history, especially Black young people. There have been points in American history where Black people were free, and most people don't seem to understand that. But their apathy allowed them to be put almost back in slavery as a result of their inactivity in defending and maintaining their freedom. In 1965, Black people were free, but by 1977, they had passed Jim Crow laws and put Black people almost back in servitude again. So that is, and that thinking is also present in America today. A lot of people want to get rid of the democracy we have in America. They don't want Black and brown people. They don't believe that Black and brown people should be voting. So they're trying to do everything they can to discourage that, Black and brown people from voting. And my message to young people, especially young Black people, is that you need to become politically conscious, because politics affects everything you do in life. You don't have to be directly involved in politics, but to know what's going on and to vote in every election. That's the way we can protect our freedom, because once they deny you the right to vote, then they can do anything they want to, and you have no voice. You have no rights to protest. So the most effective way to do that is to vote. And I hear a lot of people now talking about, well, I have no interest in politics, and I'm not going to bother this, and I'm not going to bother that. But politics affects you, as my late wife used to say, politics affects you from the womb to the tomb. Politics affects you. And that's demonstrated today. Look what they're trying to do to a woman's right to have an abortion. So that demonstrates my point. The abortion issue clearly demonstrates my point.
Mm-hmm.
So encourage your young brothers and sisters to, when they become 18, they should be registered to vote. And we can make a difference if we would just vote in large numbers. Look what happened in Georgia. You got a black senator elected in Georgia because a woman named Stacey Abrams mm-hmm. went around the state and organized black people to vote like they had never been organized to vote before. And the result of that was you got a black senator elected in the state of Georgia.
Where there's never been a black senator before.
I wonder, because one of my...
I'm not sure of that.
In Georgia?
In a lot of states, we had black senators back in the 1970s.
Yeah, but I think he was the first one for Georgia, right? He's the first for the state of Georgia.
There was a lot of media coverage over that.
Yeah, he's the first for Georgia.
Now, in modern times.
In modern times. Let's just say it the right way.
Yeah.
In modern times.
I'm hoping that'll positively impact the fact that they in Georgia, because I was going to bring this up because you brought up voting, which I'll circle back around to for a second reason. But in Georgia, they had done something where they were trying to actively prevent people from voting. And so they brought it down to where you could only vote in like one spot in Georgia or something like that. So all of the people who were, you know, African-American or whatnot were trying to figure out a way to vote.
Wow.
And, you know, and I'm wondering if now that we have a leader who, you know, can represent a good majority of the people who live in that area, if they'll open up more voting availability, like, and not just by mail. And, you know, and thank you for your wife's phenomenal efforts, because she advocated not only to lower the voting age from 21 to 18, she also,
she did that when she was Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania back in the 1970s.
Yeah. So, you know, I know that your wife has a lot of things that she's accomplished over her lifetime, and I feel like, you know, it would take several hours to cover all of it.
But, yeah.
It's one of the things that we actually do miss is that we don't share those of us. Like, there are so many people who have come out of Philadelphia, who've come out of Pennsylvania, who've done so many great things to move us forward. You know what I mean? And we don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
It does really come down to education. You know, it's hard to know certain information when you have a generation who was raised off of a lot of assistance when it comes to finding resources and information, right? In today's age, you can go on Google, you can Google almost anything and figure out, you know, some type of way of thinking behind certain topics, right? But when you have school systems who are raising young children and the youth in the community, and we're only limited to 1 month, or maybe the curriculums are changing so often, omitting some of this information, it does change the amount of resources and historical value that our Black community is missing, even within the educational system. I think that's also another important note to factor in, is that, you know, we can do the work for ourselves, being that we are so technologically advanced to be able to Google, do research, things on our own. It's not as if we have to read books like you guys humbly did back in the day and found, you know, your own ways of thinking. No, that's really real, because a lot of people are lacking the initiative to read on their own and do the research on their own with so much help and assistance that we have today. It's something to factor in as far as what the educational systems are doing to actually reinforce what it is that we know and do not know for our own good.
I'll say this. In 1979, I was 10 years old, and my grandmother gave me my first book about Dr. Martin Luther King. And my grandmother, I'm saying it this particular way, my grandmother, not my teacher, not my school, my grandmother said, you need to read this book. Unbeknownst to me that everything that had happened to him was only 10, 15 years prior to my being given that book. But I was 10 years old when she said to me, you need to learn about who you are and who you need to be. I was 10. That does not happen today. And my expectation is not that it should happen in somebody's school. My grandmother said this to me. Like, it's very important that as parents, as aunties, uncles, people who are in our lives who have an opportunity to make an impression on our youth, be the one to say, do this. And yes, we do have technology, but technology is not the same as a book. It's not. The research that is involved and being able to sit down and research and look up different narratives, you do need guidance to know that these are the things. Had I not suggested that you guys look this up, you would not look it up. You know what I mean? People need, no, serious. If we didn't know Dr. Tucker was coming on, we wouldn't be in the position where we're actually reading about what Dr. C. Dolores Tucker did or how important it is. And I'll say this, as somebody growing up in her era, the only thing I knew about her was she was a woman who didn't want you to say B-I-T-C-H in rap. Like, seriously. Like, the things that our kids, this is, I'm telling you, no, honest to God, truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's the truth, the things that people pull out of the whole equation and you get so caught to that one sentence that you don't know anything else about all of the other things that are going on around you. And I say, like I said in the beginning, had I not been able to physically be in a room with these people who are magnificent people who have been working for us their entire life, I would not feel the way that I feel. And it's important that we do that. Like, Dr. Tucker, you understand what I'm saying, right? It's like you guys have the kids and all of these other people that you try to bring on board to understand your work and what it means.
And I'm gonna off of that, because I'm, for our listeners out there who may or may not know of the foundation, Dr. Tucker, why don't you explain what your role is and, you know, what the foundation does?
All right. Well, first of all, the King holiday was signed into law in 1984. It was approved by, signed into law by President Reagan. And when the King holiday was established, they set up a commission to best determine how to celebrate the holiday. And a commission was set up between Mrs. Coretta Scott King, the widow of Dr. King, and the then governor of New Jersey, Thomas B. Kane, his name was. And the commission, it was Mrs. King's desire that the Liberty Bell be rung every on the Martin Luther King holiday at 12 noon to inaugurate the King holiday. That was Mrs. King's desire. And she asked my late wife to establish an organization in Philadelphia that would be responsible for conducting a ceremony at the Liberty Bell. And that's what we have done for the past 41 years, except 1 year when the government was shut down. We have conducted a ceremony where the Liberty Bell is symbolically rung to inaugurate the King holiday. And afterwards, we have a luncheon where we award people whose lives have reflected the efforts and the ideals of Dr. King. And that is all a result of his late wife, Mrs. Coretta Scott King. Those were her wishes. And she also wanted the bells in London, in Big Ben, to be rung. and the bells of the Vatican. Now, I don't know whether they still do that or not in London, whether they still ring the bell of Big Ben and the bells of the Vatican in Rome. But that's what we have done in Philadelphia, and we'll continue to do it as long as I'm around to make sure that it's done. My late wife, she died in 2005. And since then, I have been responsible for making sure that this program takes place on every King holiday. And it's important for young people to understand what Dr. King meant and what he did for this nation and what he did for their freedom and what he did to bring about justice in this land. And there are people and many, many forces now at work as we speak trying to take it away. They don't think that black people should enjoy the same level of justice as other people. Yeah. And they're trying to deny us at every hand, and we have to be aware of that and resist with all of our might because of war. But if they try to put us back where we once were, that's what it's going to end up as, another civil war in America.
Wow. That says a lot, Dr. Tucker. That says a lot because we definitely don't want another civil war, but people are not going to idly just give up the rights and the protections that they fought for to get.
Thank you. Thank you. You're correct about that.
Yeah, who's going to give that up? Can I ask you a question? I often ask this question to people who lived through the times prior to what we consider our civil rights day today versus where you, like, is it sad to see the world in this state, first of all? Like, are you sad?
Well, I'm not sad. I'm perplexed.
Okay.
Because I never knew that such a large segment of Americans were so stupid as to believe in all of this cultism that's being preached by certain segments of the Republican Party and Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. The stuff that he wants to turn this country into a Nazi Germany. And I'm sure all of you know about Adolf Hitler.
Yes, yes, we all have. But I mean, just not so well, much, I guess, that the concept of sad, but when you think about the fight that you all had in trying to get rights and to now relive it over again, I mean, I'm sure that nobody thought that you would have to be fighting the same fight for the past almost 50 years because it hasn't stopped.
Well, you know, seemingly it's always been that way ever since we were freed. There's always periods in American history where we make certain advances, and at a certain point, they will try to take us back. As I said before, in the 70s, the late 1860s, and the 70s, black people had freedom. But then after that, they started to erode our freedom. And by 1897, Plessy versus Ferguson, there was a Supreme Court case. The Supreme Court passed a law that almost put us back in slavery because they passed a law that established separate but equal when Jim Crow became legal again in America. Jim Crow was not legal in 1897. But when the Supreme Court passed the law of Plessy versus Ferguson, mm-hmm. then Jim Crow became legal, and that's when they started separating us in every segment of life. But before that, we were not segregated. So, and a lot of people overlook that.
So you just, I'm going to say this to you because I love you dearly. You just crushed my hope. I'm sorry, because as you say that, and as I think about all of the things that are going on today with housing, they said that people need housing and that housing was your way to wealth. And then the prices went up And then they changed the laws, and now it's harder to get a house than it was 5 years ago. And then with businesses, they say everybody needs to learn how to be an entrepreneur, and now they actually are enacting, as of January 1st of this year, laws now where the average business person didn't have to do like a background. You didn't have to tell people your history. But now the federal government wants you to report to them whether or not you were incarcerated or whether or not you had any negative history prior to becoming a business owner. So then this is another step that's put in place. And literally what you just said was every time we make an advancement, they push us back two steps back. And then we have to fight all over again. So you're just telling me that we never going to stop fighting. Like, that's crazy.
The only way to stop that is to do one thing. Vote. When you vote, then you can vote those people out of office to stop them from trying to pass laws that's going to take away our freedom. That's the only way to stop it. And we have the power. We have the power to stop it. All we have to do is use it. We have passed up a lot of opportunities. We could have had a black senator, woman senator, elected in North Carolina 2 years ago. But guess what? The black people in North Carolina didn't come out and vote. They only voted, less than 50% of them came out to vote. Had they come out and vote, 75 or 80% of them voted, we would have had another black senator in the Senate. We would have had enough senators to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And that's what we've got to do this year.
Oh, geez.
Vote for senators who are going to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and that will protect our right to vote. Mm-hmm. And we get that bill passed. And of course, there's a lot of issues that are important. But to me, that's the most important issue, because if you can't vote, you have no defense against anything.
So I want to thank you for saying that, because you literally just added a very important layer to the reason why the 2024 election is important. Because most people are just seeing the matter, you know, the fight between Biden and Trump, or the presidential election as being the most important thing. But no, reality is the things that are tied to our freedoms, meaning if we do vote and we get the senators and people in place to do things that need to be done, such as the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, that it actually will give us a little more cushion to be able to breathe. So
that's correct.
People aren't talking about the Voting Rights Act, though. No one is talking about that. So thank you for bringing that and putting that into this conversation, so that now you just like hit a fire in me so that I can make sure I add it to almost each page of the scoop. You know, like, this is why you need to vote. Because I wasn't even thinking on that level. I'm thinking that we need people to be informed and vote. But that right there is something that should push people to the polls.
Well, this is one of the most important elections we've had in my lifetime, the one coming up this year, because it's not about issues. I mean, it is about issues, but it's also about whether we're going to have a democracy or we're going to have a fascist government, an authoritarian government, people telling you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Now, if that's what you want, then you don't have to vote. But if you want freedom, then we had better vote like we never voted before, because that's the issue that's on the ballot, democracy versus fascism. Now, I don't care whether you like Biden or not. It's not about Biden. It's about democracy. And Biden represents democracy. Right. And it could be Mickey Mouse running for president. If Mickey Mouse is supporting democracy, then we need to vote for democracy.
We need to vote for the mouse.
That's right. We don't need to worry about who's running for president. You just make sure we vote for the party who is going to support the idea of maintaining our democracy.
I have to say, when they reversed Roe v. Wade, I was like, oh, it's no only a matter of moments before they start trying to reverse other things. And
that's right.
Yep. And honestly, like, I panicked, and it's sad that the equivalent of Sheree's statement of like giving us a sigh of relief or a room to breathe if we get everybody out to vote. And, you know, unfortunately, part of one of the things that's going on is the Biden versus Trump era again is coming back around, but it's kind of like whitewashing over some
quality
of
the other things.
Yeah. And it's almost like if somebody was a magician is on stage, they want to pull a trick and execute it correctly. Well, in order to execute that trick correctly, they have to bring everybody else's attention or the audience's attention to some bigger, fancier, sparkly thing, and, you know, slide that trick in. And I mean, not that
it's called being bamboozled.
Yes. So, I mean, but that's almost what they're trying to do. They're like, oh, look over here while they try to slide something that's going to hurt us in the end.
Right. That's it.
As Junius, who writes for me, would say, don't fall for the okie doke. Don't. It's the hand trick. But. The reality is that there are several people who have so much. So the thing about minority people, which makes us always fall victim to these type tricks, is we live in our four boxes. We have to worry about food, clothes, whether or not we have a job. None of us are financially stable enough that we can just plan.
Mm-hmm.
We're reactive. We're trying to make sure that we can live.
Yeah.
So we don't plan on how to live because we're trying to live. It's called. So when I was younger, I used to say, I want to be able to live. I don't want to survive because my entire life I've been surviving. I want to be able to live, which means I want to be able to get up and plan and say, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. And how do I get to that point? Not I got to work three jobs so I can make sure I can pay the rent and take care of my kids. So because we survive and we're in this box trying to survive, and the people who are making these plans and changing us, they have years and years and years of opportunity of planning. And then they throw something at us. It's like somebody throws a fastball at you and you're not ready for it.
Oh, yeah.
So then you keep getting hit with balls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like you're reacting and trying to dodge the balls, but you still don't have time to plan.
Yeah.
That's the life that we live, though. So we're in a very complex quandary.
Yeah.
because in order to get out of that, you have to be mindful of the few opportunities that you have that can change that narrative. And going back to what Dr. Tucker was saying, the number one answer to that question is to vote.
Yeah.
And to understand what's at stake if you don't vote. Adrian, are you still here, love?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
No, I don't want to. because we're over here.
I am a part of that new generation. So I'm like, I have to be humble many times and just listen to the advice.
But no, we need to hear. People need to hear from you. You know why?
Yeah.
Because you are the new generation. So you might say something just like Dr. Tucker just said, that this is what's at stake. And I didn't think about what was at stake. And you can say how you feel about what may be at stake, because the whole point is to eliminate the gaps. You know what I mean? So that we all can come and make some sort of like, oh, this is what we need to do. Like I said, my grandmom gave me the book. You know what I mean? That would be the same as me saying to you, hey, Adrian, look at this, you know?
And also, you know, to bring it back to a younger generation.
Don't forget, Dr. Tucker is on here still.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry, Dr. Tucker. I was actually gonna pose this to both of them because she's of a younger
generation. I'm being educated by the young minds of the day.
Exactly.
I was going to pose the same question almost like or in a similar fashion to both of you, because with the foundation and with Martin Luther King's legacy and voting rights and everything up for grabs, in prior years, we would get the information out by, you know, publishing it. And not that that's still a very valid way of doing it, Reed Scoop. I feel like the younger generations, they rely heavily on the flashes of the 30-second, you know, Instagram, TikTok kind of posts. So, you know, I pose to both of you how you might think, okay, how can we bring this issue and this thing to light to the general public so more people know about it? Because it is kind of being, you know, slid underneath the carpet, like, oh, let's not let people notice this.
Yeah. Well, they give you other things to distract you from the real issues. You know, like one of your partners just said, they try to do the little hand trick with you. They said, oh, look over here. This is what's going on, while they are doing something else over there. This totally different. So they do a lot of things to distract us from the real issues. But the real issue, and I can't stress this enough, the real issue of this election, I don't care whether you are Democrat, Republican, or independent, but the real issue is whether you want democracy or whether you want fascism. That's the issue. Because there are certain elements in this country, all they're talking about is taking away rights and denying you rights. And if they win, then that's what they're going to do, because they're already trying to do it in about 14 states. The legislature has passed laws restricting the right to vote, or in the process of trying to pass laws. 14 legislatures in the United States. That's what they're trying to do in those states. Mm. And we can stop it if we vote. We can stop all of that if we vote and get a Senate and a Congress to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act.
Mm.
And we only need to get two more senators elected than what you have there now. Two more Democratic senators elected would have enough senators to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And that will give us an opportunity to go in and pass all the other issues we're concerned about. But if you don't have a right to vote, you don't have the right people in office, then you're not going to be able to pass any law about anything. You will be hopeless. And we don't want to be in that position. Not in these modern times. And all we have to do is make up our minds and get young people to become politically conscious and to vote in every take out the time to vote.
So can I ask a question? Because continuing the legacy of Martin Luther King and nonviolent participation of protesting and advocating for rights, has the foundation tried to organize anything where people are going out to get that word out more?
Well, we used to have annual programs. We used to have a voter registration drive every year, right in down on the place right in front of City Hall. We mm-hmm. used to go down there, and for a whole week we had a voting rights drive, and where we would encourage people to get registered to vote. And we're thinking about doing that this year, later on in the year, is having a voting rights drive. And of course, we need to go back to the old-fashioned way of camp. We need to get some vehicles with loudspeakers and go through the streets where people are congregating and constantly talk about what they should be doing in terms of voting in this coming, the upcoming election.
Yeah.
And we will be participating in that.
Baffling for me too, because this new age of congregating together is so much more different than what like we've come from, if that makes sense. Younger generations, if they do congregate, is not really for an impactful purpose. When it comes to what I've seen in my younger generation, their perspectives on voting and how it actually makes an impact, it doesn't directly correlate to them from what they know in their short amount of time here in this life, because they feel as though, why isn't it modernized, right? And I don't think many of them are educated on the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. I do not think that they even know what that bill would do or would speak to within their ignorance of voting and not willing to vote. There are a lot of people who go out and vote and have no clue who they're voting for. Mm-hmm. There are even a greater majority of young folks who don't vote because they feel as though it's not making an impact, right? So calling the community out as far as the younger generation to come together and actually see value in these things would be a major effort because their hope is still lost. They have no clue and they're not willing to research because if it's not entertaining and if it's too long for their attention span, they are going to clock out, you know? So that's a little bit what I tend on or plan to refute within my initiatives and endeavors in being in the community. And hopefully a lot more of the younger adults will join teams with myself and move forward to educate the ones who are to come.
So listen, before, because we got like 5 minutes left, and before we close out, I want to make sure that I do this. If you're listening, you've been listening to The Inside Scoop with Cherie Darden and Ann Maris and Adrian, and our special guest today is Dr. Bill Tucker of the Martin Luther King Association. Coming up this Monday at 12 noon, there will be the 41st Awards Benefits and Luncheon, as well as the official bell ringing. And if you have not visited the Liberty Bell, that day is going to be kind of closed because it's a closed event and it's for invites only. But I suggest you do go visit the Liberty Bell at that bell ringing. It's a time where we actually do give our moment of peace and thankful for the things that we've had. And then we go on to our luncheon. And this year we're going to have the awardees is the Honorable Joanna McClinton. She's being awarded for being, of course, the first African-American speaker of the House of Representatives of the Commonwealth.
No, she's not. She's not the first.
The first woman speaker?
She's the first woman. She's the first woman speaker.
Okay, so the first woman.
Years ago, we had a speaker, a black speaker by the name of Leroy Irvin.
Yeah, but she's Pittsburgh, the first black woman.
Right.
You got to remember, Dr. Tucker, when we, unfortunately, we just not people. So there's those two. So she has two prongs. She has two minority prongs. She's a black person and a woman. So she get both of
them. That's right. And she's the first.
She's the first black female. Okay.
She is the first female, period.
And then her second prong is that she's black.
That's correct.
I have to reverse it a little bit. Okay. And then we're also honoring Esther and Daniel Sawyer. They are, the owners or proprietors of Neighborhood Crusaders. And we also are honoring, who else? The C. Dolores Tucker volunteer honorees. And these are people who actually commit and do this work for their lifetime. They actually dedicated their lives to doing the good things in the community. And that's Melanie Simmons, Reuben Johnson, and Alan Anderson. You can go, Dr. Tuster. I wanted to make sure that I get their names out. And also tell people that if they, because I think we still possibly have a chance for tickets and stuff. So if you want to be in the room at this event, this is a wonderful event. I tell you, every year I get to be there. You want to be in the room and meet the people who are actually physically living this legacy and doing the work every single day, whether or not it's been known, like people know it. These people do this work and they're dedicated to it. So you can still buy tickets. Go ahead.
It'll be at the Sheraton Hotel, downtown Sheraton Hotel at 17th and Ray Street at 12 noon. It's when the luncheon starts.
Yeah, see? And for those of you who don't read newspapers, you can read it in the Scoop, but you can also go to the King Association website as well as Scoop's website, and the information is there so that you can participate in this event and actually see some of the things that I have expressed. And if you don't have to take my word for it, once you feel the magic in the room and you understand this, you'll come back every year. You definitely will. Dr. Tucker, you got anything else you want to share with people before we go? Because I knew that time was going to go quick and we were going to have so much fun. I do it every time. We got 1 minute left.
Thing is, well, please vote this coming election. Don't get hung up on who's running for office. Please vote. Because you're voting either for democracy or you're voting for fascism. And that's what I'm trying to stress. And if you vote for democracy, then you'll have a chance to vote for all the other issues that you are concerned about. Because then we will preserve the right. But if we don't preserve the right, then nothing will matter afterwards. So let's remember that. Please, young people, take time to vote in this coming election.
Everyone, we want to thank you for listening to the Inside Scoop. Please enjoy your Martin Luther King holiday. It is to some a day of service and observance. So please give this man his due diligence, you know, and respect all that he's done and try to make this a part of your life. Thank you for listening.
Well said.
Thank you, Dr. Tucker.